Okay, my friend. Here we are.
Robert.
How you doing?
Good, and you?
Doing good, man. Just happy to be in Pi. Happy to have found this beautiful place.
It is.
How would you... I'm curious because I've been trying to describe to the people that I meet what this place is. How would you describe this to someone?
It's a place for photography, analog photography. We are... have a black and white dark room, color dark room. We exhibit our work also. And we are on preparation now also to realize, to finish the collodion dark room and then the platinum dark room. So different techniques for analog photography.
Beautiful. What a... Why analog photography?
Hello. Photography in Greek means scripture of light. The photon, like the atoms of the planet, everything in this world has a round base. This is the analogic law of nature. So we do photography. Everything is by hand. Today we live in this world with digital. It's all with technology, with the computer, and it uses another language. Meaning that they use the pixel, and the pixel is square. It's not round. So it doesn't have the same depth. It's a different way to perceive. It should not be called photography. You should find another name. Because photography means scripture of light.
Robotography or something. Yes.
But it's just names. Doesn't matter. Now the result is not the same. When you have a work done with the digital technology, the aspect is more flattened. When you have a traditional work and made, okay, but still the result matter. So it's a different. There you feel more depth, softer, calls you more somehow.
How did you get started in photography? What got you into doing this work?
When I was 19 years old, I started photography because I had to do something in a way that people of my age were going to school, choosing university, already have idea what they're going to do. And I didn't know. I was living in a monastery with a Tibetan yogi, so it was not really... And then I thought, okay, Sivan, what do you want to do of your life? And, I didn't want to work, really. I was more interested by something like Indiana Jones, you know, the movie from Steven Spielberg.
One of my favorites.
Yeah. Voilà. So I wanted to go more like this, the freeway and adventures. So I went for one day on some archaeological site in France, in Bourgogne. And I spent the day looking at the people working there. And it was looking very different than in the movie. So I realized that this is not for me, I wanted more adventure. And then after that, I thought, photographers, those guys traveling around the world here and there, sounds good. And I went to buy a camera, and I started like this.
That's beautiful. So it was the adventure that drew you into the camera in the first place.
Yeah.
The opportunity for adventure.
To be able to not work in an office, let's say, or traveling. Yeah.
What was that first camera that you bought? Do you remember?
Yeah, it was a Minolta. Minolta X300. That was the name of this camera.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, do you remember what year? You were 19?
Yeah, it was 1990.
Okay.
November 1990.
Awesome.
Yes.
And... is that like a point and shoot? Did it have an adjustable lens?
No, it's a reflex. You can make the focus.
Okay. Yeah. What was the first? What were the first subjects that you shot? Like when you decided to embark? What did
I
you
bought the camera. They gave me a film with it when I bought it, and I went around the lake in the city of Autun in Bourgogne, and I made a film around this lake, and then I gave the film to develop. And when I get back the photos, I liked particularly one of them. And I was like, oh, yeah, I would like to develop this and continue. So I continue photography. Quickly, I found a photo club where you can rent a year to have the darkroom. So I started to learn from books from the bibliothèque mostly. And And this guy from the photo club also were showing me a little bit Howard and Alger and things like this. Nice guys. And quickly I went to Paris after and start to sell my photos in the street in Paris.
Wow. Entrepreneur from day one.
I needed to make money to continue to pay my paper and chemicals. So
yeah, that's awesome.
So that's what I found.
That first photo that you really liked?
Yeah.
Do you remember what it was? What was it?
Oh, yeah, it's a photo of my hand that I took. That was the reflection of the sun in the water, and I put my hand between and...
Awesome.
And I didn't know. I did it like this randomly, but it came out so beautiful that I really liked it, and I developed in that direction.
Did it change your relationship with your hand?
No.
I remember I did this class at university. It was a still life, like drawing class. And one day for the class, the professor said, okay, today we are going to pick a body part and we're going to draw it. So I was like, okay, I'll draw my nose today. But I misunderstood the assignment. He meant, like, draw the whole face. So I spent 3 hours just focusing with a little mirror on my nose on every little piece. And so end of the class, everyone... show your papers. Everyone's got a beautiful face drawn, and I just have a nose. But I learned so much about my nose, all the little, you know, asymmetries, the parts that look different. It was like a psychedelic experience, like rebuilding the relationship with this part of my body.
Okay.
So that's what made me ask that question. I was curious.
No, it didn't affect anything with my relation with my hands.
Except that you, it started you on this journey. And do you remember what the first photo was that you sold?
Yes. It was a photo of a girlfriend.
Okay.
In the night, in the street in London.
What did it feel like that first sale? Do you remember?
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I was very happy because that night, it was an evening in Paris. I was 20. And that night, my pocket was so filled up with money that I could not believe. I was so happy that so many people bought my photos.
Mm.
So that means I don't need to go to find any jobs or anything. I can just live for my photography. That was great for me, yeah.
I'm sure it must have felt kind of validating, right? Like people are...
After I could not stop for 1.5 years, I was in the street every day.
Did you have to develop a balance between the... I know I've heard this before from artists who experienced the material success. You have to find that balance between the producing of the art and the marketing of the art. Did that ever come into your equation?
I didn't have that problem because... Since that day that I start to sell in the street, for more than 30 years after, I continue when I need it to sell anywhere in the world, but in the street always, because I don't need to have a telephone, I don't need to make appointment, and I don't need to have a bank account. So for me, it was more comfortable like this.
Yeah.
No bank account, no telephone, free, and I can focus on what I like to do, like my photography and my travels.
Amazing. Do you, how do you think about, like, productivity? Do you ever feel like you're not doing enough, like, enough art?
No, I do too much. That's just the problem. I cannot finish in this life what I started because take time to make, I make the prints one by one, by hand, you know, so it's not like, but it's very easy to click. So you make photos, but you can't print most of it.
Yeah. Do you have a lot, you must have tons of rolls that you haven't printed?
I have developed the films, but most I've done the contact sheet, but not necessarily the prints. Like thousands are waiting.
Mm. Deep treasures for another life, another lifetime.
Yeah, I guess my children will continue the work if they like to. Well, the Elizabeth, the older one, she's full into it. Now she's even teaching right now to
Elizabeth's your daughter.
Elizabeth is my daughter.
Ah. You know. You're very fortunate. You have such family, you know?
Yes, I am.
And they're all here with you and Pi?
Yeah, well, two of them. I have two daughters. Okay. They're both here, Leah and Elizabeth.
That must feel good.
Very good.
Yeah. These days, how do you approach like a photo project? Like, do you like to take photos and like almost like make a theme or an album, or do you just shoot what's interesting to you? Or like, what's your approach when deciding what you're going to photograph?
No, I'm very spontaneous. I don't plan too much. I just, you know, if I am the camera, I have the camera in the hand, big one, small one, whatever, but I'm in the procedure of developing my attention to see what is the light, what is there, what the life offered me to frame.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't believe we make, that we really make good photos. The good photos, they are everywhere. It's up to us to see. It depends on our availability.
Okay. You got to discover it.
Yeah, it's a gift.
What makes a photo good?
They are. Just we block this instant for eternity.
But I mean, when you're, like, I know so often, because they're, especially now with technology, Instagram, it's like we're all overloaded with images, right? There's so many images that you're seeing every day.
Yes.
So I'm curious, when you look, let's say you go to a gallery, when you look at photos, what is it that makes you feel like, okay, that one moved me, or that one's a good photo? Like,
it depends. So many can please you. I could give name of photographers that they are really producing a certain type of photography that it's directly touched me. Like, for example, Patrick Alphonse, French photographer, or Masao Yamamoto, Japanese photographer. Those two are alive. I love their work. I think they are really good. Now, there is many others who are not anymore in this life, but they did beautiful lives of photography. I like very much Ernst Haas.
Mm. Okay.
I admire the work of Edward Curtis also, with all this... glass plates of Native American Indians.
So oh.
Very incredible work.
I wonder if I've seen some of those. Are those like lithographs?
I have a book there you can see later.
Yeah. I'd love to check it out. Mm. And I wanted to ask you about the platinum printing.
I'd never done. I'm on my way to make my first platinum print soon. First, I set up the collodion, things that I know how to do. Collodion, color, and black and white silver print. And platinum is the new thing that we're going to start, but I didn't do it yet.
How does it differ from...
I love the quality. Okay. Yeah, it's platinum instead
it's
of silver.
It's on a metal? Actual metal?
No. You do on paper, but the emulsion contains some salt platinum inside.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is how does that change the output?
It's difficult to explain, but it's not the same impact. Mm. When you see, it's different quality.
Yeah, you just feel it.
Yeah, this photographer I told you about, the French one, Patrick Alphonse, is doing a lot of héliogravure.
What is that word?
Héliogravure. Okay. It's an ancient procedure to print photography, but they do that with a copper plate and something like asphalt, like and sun.
Wow.
He's doing this with a woman called Fanny Boucher, if I remember well. I hope I don't make mistake with names. In Paris.
Okay. They
do this. Very interesting. I really recommend this photographer, Patrick Alphonse.
Okay, I'll have to check him out for sure. How long has this... what do you call this place that we're sitting in? What is this place?
This place called Mani Mekalai.
Mani Mekalai?
Yeah, that was the name of a princess, a Tamil princess, about 2,000 years ago.
Okay.
It's a beautiful written, beautiful Tamil literature.
Tamil Nadu, like India?
Yes.
Okay.
That's right. It's the story of this girl who was educated in many arts, but she gave up all to follow the path of Buddha.
How long has this been open?
We are still in the opening procedure. We started like 2-3 months ago only.
That only that?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, but we're already full on.
Yeah.
Yeah, every day
would
working.
Did it look how much of this was Like this?
No, no, we make those outside thing around the tree, but the gallery was already here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Beautiful. And you've assembled quite the team, a colorful group.
It's still making up, but we are more and more every day almost.
Yeah.
But I have few Thai partners that they are full passionate. Some of them are here with us today. Many of them are here with us today. And some others are different places. But everybody come again to Pai. This is the mother place where we all meet and we all have our ateliers to work.
When did you come to Pai?
The first time it was in 1997.
So 6 years after you started?
Yeah.
Okay. What was that like then in 1997?
Oh, it was not much.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it was great too. I traveled mostly in the jungle, didn't spend much time in Pai itself, it was very small. I went between Pai and Mang Song to the tribal villages and all for like 2-3 weeks.
Would you photograph them?
Yeah, I did a lot of photos there, especially with opium smokers.
Yeah.
Nice. It was funny.
Do you find, when you're out on the street shooting, do you have a strategy for asking people? Is there a way that makes it easier, or do you just snap? Or, you know, some people have a thing about being on camera.
No, I don't ask. I'm quick. I believe that when you make, you are with your photography, you should not be thinking too much. You should be more in here and now, available for what is presenting to you. So I try to be quick.
When you're shooting,
I'm not looking forward too much to, when I walk around, I'm not looking for portraits anyway.
Okay.
I'm looking for sceneries, for, I don't know, maybe a leaf. I don't know. There is no definition. I don't need this or that. But I'm not particularly looking for portraits. They can come sometime to me, and okay, but it's not what I'm looking for.
The vibe, you're looking for a vibe.
Yeah, and a beautiful instant, colors also, when I work color.
Do you have other creative practices other than photography that
aquarelle.
Watercolor?
Watercolor.
Ah, I did some with one of your daughters the other day. Yeah, she let me use some of her paint. She was very generous.
Mm-hmm.
Has that changed the way that you take photos by doing watercolor? There's no bleeding between the two practices?
No, no, no. No problem.
Separate.
Yeah. The in both way, the common thing is when I'm doing it, I'm in. I don't think something else. If I paint, I'm into my paint.
Mm-hmm.
If I make, if I'm with camera, then I pay attention. And come to children game. It's pleasure. Not, I don't work.
That's the thing to steer away
from,
right?
I usually, when people ask me to do this or that, I say, no, thank you.
I was going to ask you about that, because that's been an issue in my life when I found something that I wanted to dedicate my life to pursuing, a craft, an art. I had gone through this process earlier in my life of getting into trying out an art practice and then feeling like I was pushing myself too hard and burning out, feeling like a failure. So when I started working with cameras, doing videography, my rule for myself was to try to keep it fun and easy.
Yeah.
And so I've steered away from the things that feel like work. And I'm curious if you've ever had to navigate that balance.
I had to. When I was younger, I was working. I did some jobs sometimes, especially in the fashion.
They
seems to like this kind of photography. So, yeah, I shot for many designers. But I like to be alone when I shoot. I don't like to have a team around or this kind of things. Too many different vibes. I prefer to simplify.
Too many cooks in the kitchen?
Yes.
Yeah.
I like simplify.
I'm sure, especially like when you're working with people, like a subject, a model, or a...
I like to be alone with the model. I prefer that.
Have that human connection.
Even an assistant could be too much.
Strip it all down.
Yes. No, what I found out by working for others when I was younger is that you have to fight. And when I'm alone, I don't have to fight. It's all come with satisfaction, easy. It's pure pleasure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it that way.
Do you ever collaborate with other photographers?
No. Well, I collaborate in another way, not for my photography. I do my photography, but I speak and share.
Mm.
I teach a lot to many, many things to many people, actually, since many years.
I wanted to ask you about that because how you were first introduced to me was I was talking to Danny and about what she was excited about. She's like, oh, I'm like working with this collective. There's this guy, Sobran, he's such a genius and learning from him.
No.
It sounds like you've kind of become almost in some ways like this father professor type to a younger generation.
I think photography is a children game.
Okay.
And children like me, we share.
Yeah.
I think more like that.
I mean, I see that when I came in and actually met you, and it does feel much less of a hierarchy. Much more of a community.
Yeah, not even any names, just it come like this.
Uh-huh.
We love photography, analog photography, we share. I think it's fantastic. You can see some work like this, some work like that. Wow, it's beautiful. Differences are great. This is something I like with analog, is that many people have different techniques. Today with the digital, it seems like everybody has come to the same result. So not so much their diversity.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's sad.
Yeah, I 100% agree. There's something about the limitations, like as an artist, when you're working with limitations, I find that I'm at my most creative.
Yeah.
Like if there's a, you know, that's the beauty of digital is that there's unlimited options, right?
Mm-hmm.
But that's also, as an artist, like if someone was like, do anything, now I'm stuck. Like, I can't decide. It's everything, you know? Mm. But if it's like, if I get given like a narrow window where they're like, create within this box, even if it's me telling myself that, suddenly I have a million ideas and I know exactly what to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's the beauty. My younger brother is building a completely analog music recording studio at his house right now. And that was his philosophy is, I want the artist to come in here and have as little options as possible. There's still a lot of options. There's a million parts you can adjust, but there's the limitations of like, hey, you better play the song right. We're not going to do 1,000 takes. You have to pay for the tape. So, you know, if you make a mistake,
it's for nothing.
You're going to live with it, or we're going to retry, but you're not going to get to keep that one and compare. And it changes the way that people think about what they're creating.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very cool. I think it must be the same with the photos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there something that you're working on right now that you're very excited about? I mean, I know you have this big building project going
on. Right now, we are preparing all those dark rooms, so I'm full busy with this.
Yeah.
And I miss a little bit color printing. So maybe these next days, I might go for 3-4 days color printing.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you spend, do you spend more time in the dark room and printing than you do shooting? Or how does that balance work?
You know, I was for many years traveling, and little bit dark room. So now I have to make more dark room because, again, everything is sleeping in the boxes. Yeah. It's a shame.
The backlog.
Yeah, so I want to really print out those photos that I have done before that they should be printed.
Do you, how do you decide what gets hung on the wall, I should ask?
I don't know. I just do it spontaneously like this. Like you see on the board, for example, I put all the new students.
Okay.
One print each. Ooh. Every time there is a new student coming, I had one print on the board. So we start to have a collection of students.
That's their work?
Their work.
Okay. So yeah, they put up one of their...
We even also sold one this morning
really?
From one student. Yeah.
That's exciting.
Very good.
That must have felt good seeing them go through that
movement. I mean, they just come to learn, they produce something, and it's sold.
That's amazing.
It's perfect.
Have you ever experimented with printing on other surfaces than just paper? Do you ever?
Yes, I do also collodion plates, and we, not only me, we are a few here also at on aluminium, mm-hmm. on glass.
You get that very crisp look. I don't know. I had some of my photography printed on the aluminum plates. I found a print shop close uh-huh. to where I live that does it.
Oh no, there we shot directly with the camera with the plate collodion.
Wow.
Wet plate. Yeah.
How does that work?
But you must develop right away.
Okay.
You cannot develop next day. You shoot, you go to develop.
Okay.
Wow. But you put your emulsion on the glass, not with a brush, or you make it drop and
yeah.
like this. Then you put to dry. Then you put in your cassetta and your folder. Then you can put on the camera to take your photo. You prepare focus before. This is less spontaneous photo in the way that you work with big cameras and you have to prepare everything. Still, the spontaneity is there. It depends on the level of attention you deploy to for your image.
That sounds so cool. I mean,
it's very old process, collodion. You know, it's some most ancient.
Is that like a lithograph?
No.
Different.
No. Okay. It's directly with light.
Directly with light. Yeah. Do you? I mean, it sounds like there's like, because you're doing this, it's like a little more imprecise, right? Because you're.
No. You make the emulsion go everywhere.
Uh huh.
On the plate.
It seems like there'd be room for a lot of happy accidents, you know, where the growth comes from.
Of course, but you learn from accident
right.
and mistakes.
Yeah.
So many times in the dark room, this mistake plus this mistake together, it make perfect. So we do a lot of those.
Yeah, that gets back to what you were saying about, it's like those mistakes you erase in the digital world, right? Like, you can go into post and Photoshop or remove this
yeah.
or that, but there's something about that, right? Those transcendental nature of the mistake can often drive your art forward.
Yes. This is how personally I learn, by making my mistakes.
You have an example of one that turned into a mistake that you grew out of?
Yes. In 2002, I think, I made photos for Italian designer Giorgio Armani, and that was when I printed I did a black and white shoot, and put the film on my enlarger, my paper. I exposed the light on my paper, but I forgot to put back the filtering when I did the focus. So that was not the filtering, so too much light was coming. So I exposed, and when I developed, the image was going to be too dark. It came too quick in my
yeah.
developer. I saw that, so I took it out and put directly in the fix. And then after I turned on, I was like, oh, shit, I missed. I made a mistake. And then I look, but it was not developed properly, so it was giving some effect
okay.
on the print. I'll show you somewhere. And it was beautiful effect. Like...
Yeah.
So I did the rest of all the other photos from the shooting like this. It was beautiful.
And I'm guessing they liked it?
Yeah, they loved it.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. I love those. We don't have a word in English for that, but we need one, you know?
Okay.
It's a happy accident, the happy mistake or whatever that you get something beautiful out of. Maybe this question will come off as pretentious, but I don't mean it like that. But what do you think the role of art is in the world today, or the artist?
You know, I believe the reason why we exist, the only reason it can be only creativity. So everything is an art. Art of living, art of... if you make bread and you pay attention to what you do, you are full focus on what you do, you make a bread that is a piece of art, I guess.
That's what I tell people when I give them my bread. You're welcome.
Exactly. I think whatever we do, it's art. Mm-hmm. This is the only thing we are doing here. If we don't make our life a beautiful piece of art, probably we get sad when we are old.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like that. It's kind of like, I think the greatest gift that we've been given as thinking and feeling beings is the ability to create.
That's fantastic. You know? We can play.
Yeah. Take in this wealth of experience and sensation.
Yes, we're a bunch of children playing.
Yeah. That's it's good to surround yourself with children because they remind us that when they start taking ourselves too seriously.
Yeah, children are spontaneous, more than adults usually. But we should stay children.
And concerned about the important things, you know?
I think the most important thing in life is what is supposed to be the less important. Let's start with anything that what our senses connect us with, you know.
Do you find that you have to... I know you said that you... With creating, with your art, like, it's like... You're always going, right? You said, like, do you have to have downtime? Do you have to take breaks? It never comes into your mind?
I don't have this...
Yeah.
Yeah.
You wake up and you're just ready to do it.
Yeah, well, it depends the day.
Yeah.
Some days you feel more like this. Some days you feel more like that. Some days you want to do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
It's also good.
So those days you do nothing.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, yeah.
It seems like it's so natural for you, but that's something I've really had to work out in my life.
Because I only do photography. I never really worked. Or when I was very young to cut the grapes for the wine or this kind of small job, I never really worked. I only do photography.
So it never became work for you?
No, I love this. I really enjoy it.
It's beautiful. I'm so happy that you found something that gives you such satisfaction and joy in your life.
Yes, but many other things can give satisfaction. When I was 19, I picked that one, but maybe if I had to pick another one, it maybe could have been great too. I don't know, but I would not cut the possibility.
If you had to pick another, what do you think it would have been?
When I listen like Reza Lotfi from Persia, from Iran, maybe I would like to have been such a musician.
Okay. Like a Persian style musician or just...
Wow. Reza Lotfi. I'm a big fan.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know that word.
Mohammed Reza Lotfi.
Mm-hmm.
He died about 10 years ago, I think.
Okay.
He was very, very talented.
Do you listen to music when you work?
Yeah, in the black and white darkroom, I listen to music, and not in the color.
Why is that?
In color, there is no red light.
Okay.
You don't see. And I have to count. I do by hand, so I count everything in my head. I cannot be thinking about something else. But in the black and white, I like to put a little music. I roll a cigarette. It goes with it, no problem.
Okay.
In color, no, I need all my...
Color silence.
Yeah. Full concentration.
That's so interesting.
Yes. But I love both. I like to go from one to another one.
You switch it up.
I like to change, yeah.
And you guys are going to have, like, you. How many dark rooms are you building here?
Right now we have two, but we're going to have two more and then another one. So five.
Five?
Yeah.
Only five?
For now. But we'll make more if it's necessary, if we are too many.
Yeah.
But now five is needed.
That's what's the word I'm looking for? What prosperity to have a need for five, you know?
Yes.
That's beautiful.
It's because a lot of people enjoy analog photography.
Yeah.
More and more.
Yeah.
The funny thing is we see a lot of people with film camera, but they give the film to develop and then they scan.
Right.
And they only look on computer. So many of these people are coming here today, like every day someone new. So from all of them, some more, some start to print themselves and get knowledge. Because I believe that the photography, the understanding even of light really start in the darkroom. If you don't make your printing, you don't finish the work. If you give your print to someone else, professional, you know, it's not the same.
Now someone else is making decisions about your creativity. Mm-hmm.
But it's not the same result.
Right.
I don't think anybody can make my prints. I know. I make my prints. For me, I have to, because I have to finish the job, you know.
Do you think that has a greater effect on the way your photos turn out than the camera?
Yes, yes. When I shoot, I know already what kind of printing I will do. It's quick, because I have many years experience, so for me it's automatic. But if you begin, this understanding will grow.
I'm trying to remember. So I was very lucky when I was in fifth grade. I went to a school that did not have a lot of money, but they had amazing teachers because it was a beautiful place. Mm-hmm. And so in fifth grade, we had a dark room and we got to do black and white photography. I would go take pictures of my dog, or I really liked landscape photography. I like to go out and I grew up in a very beautiful place. So go take pictures of a bridge or the hills or a tree. Mm. And then later in high school, I took black and white photography, and we started with the little pinhole cameras.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Camera obscura.
Yes.
And then moved on to the mounts. And I try to think back to that time, and I remember being in the dark room. I remember really enjoying it, but it's also like, it's been so long, I'm trying to...
So when you have time, you can go there for teaching.
Yeah, I got to come take a class.
Refresh your memory. Totally. Yes.
Yeah.
And join the crew.
That's awesome. Yeah, put my picture up on that wall.
Yes.
Do you find that when you... Because I do see... I know you said that you don't aim to take portraits.
No, I do portraits too.
You do.
So I'm not looking for...
You're not looking
but
for...
But when I walk around...
Okay.
Now, if I meet a person that I find inspiring, I could ask this person, do you mind to I take a portrait of you? It's possible. I do this, yeah. Like, I did this a lot with model agencies, for model agencies. Mm-hmm. When I was young, I was making, they call this test. You make the photos for the girls to have photos in their book to be able to present themselves to the clients.
My portfolio.
So I did a lot of that when I was young. I found it very creative. Not too much when you work for the client, but when you work for the model agency, you are just with the model. You do what you want. There is nobody to tell you what to do on your shoulder. So that occupation I used to like a lot.
I'm sure. Plus, you get to look at pretty models all day.
Yes, 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 yes. And I was young and very happy about all that.
Yeah,
you know? Yeah. No problem.
That's great. Well, I have to ask you to bring it back to Indiana Jones. You know, if you're Indiana Jones, what is your holy grail?
My holy grail, find myself.
Yeah. Still looking?
Yes and no. Between the lines.
Okay.
Something like that.
You're in the temple.
I believe now, because my beliefs have changed many times in this life, but for now, I don't prefer not to reach any goal. I try to develop my attention in here and now. I try to kill the intention, let's say like this.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other day. Kill the intention.
Yeah, I want to not to want anymore. I just want to be. You know, like Shakespeare was saying, to be or not to be, that is the question. I found this extremely interesting. I found this is the main subject for me.
Okay.
To be or not to be. I believe that when you are going through the analytic process, when you are going through the thinking, the thoughts, You can think about the past, you can think about the future, but you cannot think about the present. The present, only you can live it now, to be or not to be.
Yeah.
So this is my main interest in life.
I love it. I mean, it's the... I've experienced that in small tastes, you know, that break from the stream of consciousness of the past and the present, or the past and the future. Remember, it was actually in India 7 years ago to this month. I was on a little beach in Gokarna, in Karnataka. It's called Paradise.
Paradise Beach?
Yeah.
So you have Gokarna, Kudli Beach, Home Beach, yeah. Half Moon Beach, and Paradise.
Yeah, you've been there.
I spent 8 years there.
Living on the beach?
Yes, but I was living on the Gokarna side.
Okay. Yeah. So I found this place by accident.
When did you?
I went in 2017. I traveled to India, and I had this big plan. Oh, Goa. I'm going to go to Goa. It's going to be so cool. Everyone told me you have to go to Goa. I end up in Gokarna, and...
The best.
I'm staying on Kudli Beach, and I meet this Indian guy who is on the bus with me. He says, hey, I'm going to hike to this beach called Paradise. You can only get there by hiking or by taking the water taxi. You want to hike? I said, sure. We went and we hiked, you know, 3-4 hours. Mm. We got harassed by the police. They tried to take my money, you know, because they thought... because I was white, maybe I had drugs on me.
Yeah.
Luckily, I did not.
Good.
But they were trying, you know,
they look for that.
They wanted a bribe.
To make a little extra bakshish, yeah.
Yeah, and it helped that I had an Indian friend to translate. But we made it to the beach, and I was like, wow, look at this beach. It's like the size of a football pitch. It's just nothing, you know? Mm. And I played some cards with some guys that were on the beach, and then... that evening, I decided to take the water taxi back, and I'm leaving the beach, and I see this other guy that was on the bus, this British guy, and he's just sitting in a hammock looking so pleased with himself, you know, so happy. I talk to him, and he says, hey, you should, why don't you buy a hammock and come join me, you know? So as I'm on the boat, I'm watching the beach disappear in the distance. I'm like, you know what, maybe I will. And so the next day, I went into the Gokarna market, this beautiful market, and I found a nice hammock and a blanket. Went to the beach, took the boat in, said hi, and then my plan originally was to stay for 3 days because I still had this idea about Goa in my mind. And during those 3 days, I met this family of people from 7 countries that were all together. And the head of the family was this young Indian couple, this guy and this girl, very like forward thinking. The guy was like, he couldn't walk 10 feet without making a friend. My friend Sandeep.
Yeah, this type.
Yeah. And he welcomed me in, and you know, we became a little family on the beach, and we would cook dinner, make chapatis on the fire with the tube blowing on the fire. And after 3 days, I was like, okay, I have this plan to go to Goa. I'm going to say goodbye. I packed up all my bags. Everybody's just playing and laughing and eating. And I started to get this knot of sadness in my chest. It's just this pain of like, oh, like I love these people. I don't want to say goodbye to any of them. No, I have to go to Goa, you know. And as I'm standing there... And this was a big moment in my life. It's taught me a lot. I realized, who cares if I go to Goa? Only me.
Yeah.
Nobody's looking over my shoulder. And so in that moment, I said, you know, guess what, guys? I'm staying another night. Yeah, yeah. So I unpacked. And I was going to stay for one more night. The next day, I didn't even pack. And I ended up staying for 11 more days. And my reason to bring up that story was during those 11 days, I got into this state. You know, we're always saying, live in the moment, you know. What moment, you know. But I so got in there, into that space, of, like you were saying, of just being or not being. I remember this one day, I'm up on those terraces, like at the back of the beach, and my friend's like, would you like to go for a swim? He's like, I'm going down to the beach. And I was like, yeah, you know, when I get there. But I knew in my heart, like, I had no idea what time it was going to be, because even though it was only 20 meters to the beach, it took me 2 hours. Because I see this guy, oh, come over here, look at this, I'm making this coconut bowl. Or, hey, do you want to play a song? By the time I got to the water, the sun had moved, and my friend was nowhere to be seen. I was like, ah, I'm in the moment now. Yeah.
Did you visit the town of Gokan?
I did.
It's lovely.
Lovely town. Yeah.
I love this place. I was stuck there for a long time.
I bet.
Yeah. Could not move.
Yeah. It's
Gokarna. Gokarna is probably the place I have photographed the most in India.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I have a lot of Gokarna.
I think it was the first place I saw someone just pull down their pants and take a shit on the street. I'd been hearing about it in India, but that was the first place. I was like eating my lunch and I look out the window.
No, the fishermen have the shit on the beach here, but in the street I haven't seen.
Yeah, it was a I think maybe it was a ditch out back or something. But when you were at Paradise, this was another thing that really got me excited, was, you know, the bioluminescence at night. Mm. And I went into the swim, and I'm going like this, and there's just beads of light coming down my arm, and it was like so psychedelic.
Yeah, this is nice, huh?
We all started laughing like little kids, like, ah, you know.
Of course, of course.
For the rest of the night, I became the evangelist of the water, and I would go to people on the beach who were just sitting on the beach, and I was like, hey, have you been in the water? And they're like, no. And I'm like, you should go in the water. And they're like, it's okay, it's nighttime, like, we're fine. And I'm like, no, you should go. And I would like grab their hands, and I would convince them into going. Mm. And then I would listen, and every single group that I sent in,
yes,
they'd come back. Oh, thank you. I was like, this is a once in a lifetime. But yeah, it. That was a very magical period of life, of time.
I've left Gokarna in 2010.
Okay. That was the last time you were there?
No, the last time I was there was in 2014 for 1 week.
Okay.
Just say hello to friends. But it was very, very... After 2009, it came very touristic. Before that, it was more quiet.
I'm sure.
And it was real paradise.
Yeah
I miss that part.
Yeah, I'm sure it seems like that.
I still have many friends in Gokarna because I have met some of the most incredible people there. Very interesting.
Yeah.
Yes, whether the local or even other people from other places coming here, but I have met a lot of very interesting people in this Gokarna.
Do you sounds like you have moved around a lot in your life? Would you say that you have wanderlust? You know this term?
To wander? I don't know. Yeah, maybe. It's difficult for me to put myself in any category.
Yeah.
But yeah, I traveled a lot. I traveled a lot.
When you were traveling, how would you know when it was time to move on?
Can't explain. You feel it.
Yeah.
It's time to go. Sometimes I just go because of the weather.
Okay.
I go with the climate. Like I travel many countries, but a lot in India and Himalayas, essentially for like more than 20 years. And so winter time I'm in the south.
Yeah.
Gokarna. Then I go north when it gets too hot, and slowly I reach the mountain. And then when is the rain will come, the monsoon time come in the Himalaya, Indian Himalaya, then I go after the Rotang Pass, I go to Lahul and Ladakh, where there is not the rain, like the Tibetan plateau, the west. And then I come back in September and again go south. Sometime I had to go to Nepal. I do all with the motorbike. And I go to Nepal for the visa, or sometime I take a plane to Thailand. Mm. and I go to a small island to swim tranquilo, 1-2 months, and then back to India. And also it give me the new visa every time, because the visa at that time were 6 months.
Okay. Yeah. I love that. That sounds like paradise.
Yeah, it was.
I didn't make it to Ladakh, but I was I was told to go there.
Very, very beautiful place. Yes, very beautiful.
Yeah, I got stuck in Dharamkot. Oh. I was, after all the noise, I was seeking the shanti. Oh. And again, I landed in this town, and I was thinking like, oh, maybe I should go to Nepal, maybe I should go to Ladakh.
And you spent some time in Dharamsala.
Yeah, I just felt like I was where I needed to be, and I was listening, you know, I was starting to listen to that voice more. Not the, like, monkey brain of trying to run around and press myself onward. And I ended up just staying in that town. I did a vipassana for a couple, you know, for 10 days. And I made friends with the gem shop, this young Indian couple. So I would go to the shop and make macrame, make necklaces, hang out and talk all day, philosophy and jokes and all the good stuff.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I guess we'll end it on, we'll end it with one more question, which is, when you talk to people who are just starting out on their creative path, do you have any wisdom, any guidance that you can offer? Maybe someone's watching this, they're thinking about getting into analog photography.
Yeah, well, go for it. Whatever you like to do, go for it, and don't just go. Yeah. I don't know. No question. No
Kill doubt. The intention.
Yeah, make it now. No need to dream.
You don't need
dream.
To
don't either. Bring. Only the action.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. That's awesome. Well, Sabran, thank you so much for coming
you,
on the Bartcast, man. I appreciate you
thanks
so much.
Thanks to you. Yeah. I really appreciate you.
And thank you, everybody, for watching and
thank
tuning
you,
in.
Everybody.
We love you. Until next time. Peace.